Book of Genesis, chapter 16 and verse 7. And the angel of Jehovah found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maidservant, whence comest thou, and whither art thou going? God is entitled to ask questions of persons. We find it often in Scripture. Not because he doesn't know the answer, but because we need to know the answer. And it seems to me that these questions are very vital to be answered in the glad tidings tonight. Where have you come from, and where are you going? Questions, you know, define things, or at least the answers to the questions define things. Think of the questions that were asked in the garden. Where art thou? Where art thou, God said to Adam and to Eve? What is this thou hast done? These two questions defined what had happened to man. One, that he was lost, and the other, that he was guilty. And these two things are true of everybody in the world tonight. There's nobody escapes these definitions. Of course, there are sinners saved by grace, those who have been found by Jesus. Interesting, I'm not here to talk about Hagar, but it's interesting that she was found at a certain place. God's grace followed her. She was Abraham's wife. She was being oppressed by Sarah, and she fled. God's grace followed her. As it has followed you, my friend, throughout your life, God's grace follows a man. Thank God, you know, there's a Saviour for the lost tonight, and there's a Saviour for the guilty. I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's everybody. We've all sinned, every one of us. You know, the word in Luke that a Saviour has been born in David's city is the Saviour of the world. The Saviour that needs to be known by everybody. It didn't just apply to a few in Luke. It didn't just apply to a few in Bethlehem or in Jerusalem or in Israel, but the whole world. That was the importance of the incoming of Jesus. If we apply these questions to him, where did he come from? He came from the glory. He came from heaven. It tells us in John 13 that he knew that the time had come for him to depart out of the world, for he had come from God and he was going to God. Why did he come? Because you were lost and I was lost. And there was no way that we could be redeemed to God unless he came and took on our liability at Calvary's cross. That's why Jesus came. Where was he going? He was going back to the glory, but he was going by way of Calvary's cross. That's where he was going. So when you read of him, when he met Bartimaeus, for instance, in Jericho, he was on the way going up to Jerusalem. Why was he going to Jerusalem? Because there he would suffer and die. And there he would bear God's judgment against the sins that you and I had committed. There was never a life like Jesus. There was never a purpose-driven life like his. I wonder, what is your life tonight as you review it? Does it have any direction? Or are you just waiting for the next day to happen? Maybe you're just hoping to win the lottery or something. You know, it amazes me. I see elderly people in their late 80s buying tickets for the lottery. To what avail? What benefit? Even if they were to win, the greatest thing you can possess is faith in Christ. That is something that is absolutely valuable, and it's absolutely free. It's offered in the glad tidings tonight, and it gives you a blessing beyond anything this world could afford you. It gives you peace in your heart because you know that the past has been settled. It gives you a future because you know that you're going to be with Christ. And it gives you joy for your presence, you know, for your present. That's something that's truly worth having. But my Saviour had to go by way of the cross before I could stand here tonight and tell you of a Saviour. It wasn't his birth that brought salvation to the world. Immense event that it was. I don't diminish it in any way, because the Creator stepped into the creation at Bethlehem in a manger. Can you take that in? I can't take that in. But that's what happened in Bethlehem's manger. Because it says in Hebrews about the Lord Jesus, by whom also he made the worlds. It says in John that everything that has life received it from Christ. That's my point about where you've come from. You know, there's nothing haphazard about any life. We belong to God. He gives life. He gives to each a body. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. He gives to each a body as it pleases him. God makes no mistakes. He doesn't give persons the wrong body. Remember that. He gives breath. He gives life. You are responsible to a Creator God. You know, that's why Darwin's theory of evolution was so popular, because it took God out of the equation, and it took an obligation to that God out of the equation. If there wasn't a God responsible for creation, then I had no obligation to him. What a lie of Satan. You are responsible to God. The heavens declare the glory of God. There is no voice. And yet, the word goes out. Psalm 19. Think of the human body. The most intricate, amazing thing. And yet they tell you that had no designer. What folly! It just happened. We belong to God, a Creator God. Belshazzar was told, the God in whose hand your breath is. The next breath you take is in the hands of God, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. We were made for God's pleasure. That's why God made man. He gave him intelligence. He gave him hands to serve. He gave him ability that no other part of the creation has. And you know, man was the first of his creation to rebel against him. God has never been thwarted by any of his thought, in any of his thoughts or anything that has happened. And to lost and ruined sinners tonight, he is extending salvation through faith in Christ. To Adam and Eve, he gave them coats of skin. And it says, and covered them. That is what God provided for them, was sufficient. And something had to die to provide that covering. God was never taken aback by the incoming of sin. And so that's where you've come from. You never just happened. You're responsible to God. You're responsible because of what you are, but you're responsible because of what you've done. All have sinned. You say, well, sin entered the world because of Adam, what Adam did. and death has passed upon all because of what Adam did? No, because all have sinned. You're responsible for your own sins. And you know, you can't do anything about it. Nothing. You can't go to the priest. He can't forgive your sins. Persons go to confession, you know, what good is that? He's no basis whatever to forgive your sins. God alone can forgive your sins. Who was here? Who was here? Who was here in Bethlehem's manger? Who trod this earth? The blessed God in the form of a man. Philippians 2 outlines the life of Christ in the most beautiful way. One who was thought it not an object of rapine to be on equality with God, but emptied himself. He emptied himself in coming into manhood. And as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death. And that, the death of the cross. Is that the end? No. Jesus is no longer in death. Death couldn't hold him, you know. You and I will be overtaken by death. No one has escaped. Everybody knows the date of their birth. No one knows the date of their death. But we will be overtaken by death unless the Lord comes for us before then. But the Lord would never have been overtaken by death because he was sinless. That's why he could take on my liability. The righteousness and holiness of God required a perfect sacrifice. Who could take that on? The redemption of the soul is costly and must be given up forever. There was no way until Jesus came. He offered himself without spot to God. And so, closing scenes of the Lord's life are so affecting. How man was allowed to treat the Saviour. You know, Satan would never have dared to spit in the face of Christ. Never. That's what man did, you know. What happens to him will be answered for. The Roman Empire will be dealt with by Christ himself. We leave that. What happened to him at the hands of a holy and righteous God was what has secured our salvation. Because he bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's what happened. In these 3 hours of darkness, Jesus took on my liability, my guilt. What was due to me as a sinner was borne by Jesus, vicariously, so that I went free, as knowing that everything that stood out against me in the sight of a holy and righteous God was cleared away. His precious blood was shed as a sign that God's holy requirements had been met completely. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But the shedding of the blood of my Saviour means that full and free remission are available to all who will trust him tonight. Is that you? Are you trusting in the blood of Christ? Are you trusting in that finished work? Or are you just drifting along? Where are you going? Do you know that for sure? Do you know for certain where you're headed? Question was asked of a believer. Why does God send good people to hell? You may have seen it. And the answer was, God's not sending anybody to hell. But the fact that you're a sinner, that's where you'll end up. You know, John 3 and 16 explains that completely. That you're perishing without Christ. Not that you will perish, you are perishing. You're lost without Christ. The day you accept Christ as a Saviour, you're found. You have a hope. You'll spend eternity with Him. But the alternative is hell. People don't like to think about it. But the Lord Jesus spoke more about hell than anybody. Anyway, the believer went on to illustrate it as a ship, like a ship that was sinking. You're on a ship that's sinking, and the lifeboat is alongside. There it is. God has sent the lifeboat. It's Christ. Will you get out of the sinking ship and into the lifeboat tonight? The day you put your faith in Christ and trust Him for all that's past, for your lost condition, accept Him as your Saviour, you get into the lifeboat. The alternative is unthinkable, dear friends. It's so important that you accept Christ as your Saviour before it's too late. He's coming again. He may come tonight. I don't know who this scripture is for, but it's been on my heart for some weeks. But if you are living your life without Christ and you don't know where you're going, can I urge you to come right now where you are? Repentance towards God and faith in Christ is the only way of blessing. There is no other Saviour. There is no other way of salvation. There is no other way of getting favour with God. You can't merit God's favour. There's nothing. You've got nothing to recommend yourself. You have to come in all your need, like the publican. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He knows you're a sinner. He wants you to know you're a sinner. He wants you to know there's a Saviour for sinners. He may not be available tomorrow. Will you come now for His name's sake? Amen.